Good morning.
Good morning, Stephen.
While I wrestle with the technology, would you look for Romans chapter 8, please, in your Bibles? Is that working? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. We're looking at the Holy Spirit in a number of sessions, and I've been asked to speak about the Holy Spirit and love. So I'd like to read from Romans chapter 8, and this is something about the way the Holy Spirit works in us. And I think we'll start at verse 9. And I want you to notice in this passage what the Holy Spirit is doing, and especially how he's loving us and telling us that God is our Father. So Romans 8 verse 9. However, you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. And if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who indwells you. So then, brethren, we are under obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you're living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you're putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you've not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you've received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, in order that we may also be glorified with him. I wonder if I could ask if we could have a small table brought forth in the next minute or two, a little square table that I could place things upon to attract our attention and hopefully not distract us. Because my privilege this morning is to speak about the Holy Spirit and this question of love. Thank you, Nathan. That's great. And I don't know what you think of when you think of the Holy Spirit. We're taught of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And do you know that each one of us can have a relationship with each of those three persons? And for each of us, we have a bit more of a meaningful relationship with perhaps one or two than the others. So if I did a straw poll, how many of you sense that you have something of a relationship with God the Father, that it's sort of really meaningful? How about relationship with God the Son, the Lord Jesus? And how about with God the Holy Spirit as a person? Yeah? Lots of us can identify with all three, and that's good. And do you know who it is that makes that possible? It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is all about many things. See you, Barry James.
And I was looking at my plants this morning in the house and thinking, which one of these would be a good picture? Because I want to say three things about the Holy Spirit this morning. The first is about his role in God. And the second thing is about his role in connecting God with us. And the third thing is about connecting us out into the world. The Holy Spirit is a great connector. If you notice how a lot of words about the Holy Spirit are to do with flow, because sometimes he's talked of as breath. Remember at the beginning of the Bible, God made Adam out of the dust of the earth and he breathed into his body the breath of life with his spirit, and he became a living soul. The Holy Spirit is regarded as breath. That's motion, isn't it? That's life. Another picture of him is wind. Jesus said, Holy Spirit's like wind. You see the effect of the wind, but you can't actually see the wind. Again, there's motion. Two other things the Holy Spirit is likened to in the Bible. Can you remind me of those?
Fire.
Fire. And make that number five, actually. We'll come on to fire in a minute. But two other things about flow in particular.
Water.
So Holy Spirit is like water who flows through us and out of us. And the other thing that flows, another liquid, oil. Holy Spirit like oil. Because the great thing about water is it's something that you can drink, comes through you and gives life. Great thing about oil is you can rub it into someone and it penetrates the skin and benefits the whole body. It's called anointing. Jesus Christ means Jesus the anointed. And it's the Holy Spirit who anoints Jesus with that wonderful nature that he's got and that great calling. So the nature of God I want to start off with, and then how God connects with us, and then how we can connect with other people. The nature of God, Father and Son. Did you know, I'm sure you did know, before the earth was even created, God was a Father. He didn't need to create the world before he had any sons. God, the Father, had a Son who he was passionately in love with. So my favourite cushion, the heart of the universe, is not a single all-powerful entity, but a relationship, a family, a community, a father who passionately loves the son. Do you know why the father created the world? It's because he wanted lots of other people to passionately love his son. And the Holy Spirit was stirring up that love in the heart of God the Father to say, yes, I love the love that the Father has for the Son, and I want to make sure that that love is transmitted out as far and wide as it can be. So this plant reminds me of life that's been transmitted outwards. There's many pictures of God. One is a fountain that exists to give life. And it's like God is the fountain and Jesus is the water, for example. Or the Holy Spirit is the water. Analogies all fall short and have many connections. This is the third picture about connecting, as we'll come on to God connecting with us shortly, God's heart and our heart.
So where are we going with this? Before the foundation of the world, the Father and the Son were loving one another, and it was the Father's love for the Son that motivated him to create the universe and us. In John 8, Jesus says to the crowd, if God was your father, you would love me. Which is interesting, isn't it? One of the signs that we truly love the real God is that we love his son, and that we're passionately in love with his son, because God loves his son. So the first point, the Holy Spirit stirs up love in God. He stirs up the delight of the Father in the Son. You know, the thing that God delights in most is his Son. He's absolutely obsessed with him, absolutely besotted with him. He thinks he's absolutely wonderful. And the Son loves the Father in return with a fabulous appreciation. And the Holy Spirit wants us to have that same love for the Father and the Son. Holy Spirit stirs up love in God. Remember at the baptism of Jesus, the Father declares his love for the Son through giving him the Spirit. Spirit came down like a dove, and there was a voice from heaven. The Father was saying, this is my beloved Son. Listen to him. Holy Spirit was there, stirring up the love. Holy Spirit loves to give. He loves to give God's love. He loves to give God's very self. So the heart of God, the heart of the universe, the center of the universe is heart-shaped. God the Father, God the Son, loving one another and thinking of ways to extend their love outwards. Thinking of ways. God the Father is thinking, I love my son so much. How can I get some people? How can I get more people to love him? And he created human beings, not as robots who are programmed to love God, but who had the choice to love. So God wants as many people loving his son as possible. And God takes the risk that many people won't love his son, but a small proportion will and do. And God thinks that's worth the risk. God also knew it was going to cost him a huge amount. A huge amount. Because lots of people would reject him, and he would have to bring them back to himself. And so he did, and it cost him a huge amount. So the heart of God. Holy Spirit stirs up love within God. The second thing I want to say is that the Holy Spirit connects us with the love of God. So if you turn back in Romans to chapter 5, verse 5, it says, hope does not disappoint us because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And we've been singing about God pouring out his love. And God, it says here, the love of God has been poured into our hearts. We've been asking God to open our hearts. We've been asking God to open the eyes of our hearts. There's this wonderful organ within us called the heart that I might have mentioned before. I keep on coming back to it because the heart is what connects us with God. He's designed us. And the physical heart is a sign of it. You know, the heart is not just a pump. We're taught, aren't we, that the heart pumps blood, and that's its function, full stop. Do you know that the heart actually caresses the blood inside the chambers of the heart? That's my term, by the way. The heart has 7 layers of muscle. The heart muscle has 7 layers of muscle. And they're all arranged at specific angles around each other. And they're arranged in spirals and beautiful interlocking patterns. And when the heart beats, the top of the heart contracts first. And then there's the muscle of the main chambers of the heart that contracts. It's not just whoosh. There's a part of it at the top that starts to contract. And there's another part. And the whole thing is gradually squeezing out the blood in a caress. And the blood comes out like a vortex. It comes out swirling. that's a more efficient flow. It's not turbulent flow, it's coming swirling. And there's beautiful mathematical formulae to describe the shape of the heart itself. You know, it's the same shape as the bud of a flower, upside down. And there's something beautiful about the way God has designed the very beat of the heart and the rhythm of the beats. The heart sends blood to every part of the body. It also sends pulsations to every part of the body. It also sends hormones to every part of the body, including oxytocin, the bonding hormone, a hormone that is stirred up when there's love between people. And the heart sends messages to the brain through nerves, informing the brain about what it needs to know. Because, you know, we tend to think things through, especially in the West. It's about thinking correctly. But actually, the heart has reasons that the head doesn't know of. And the heart itself has its own nervous system, nervous complex, has its own intelligence. All this in this little lump of muscle that's just a pump. You see, we reduce it to a machine. Sometimes we reduce our bodies to a machine and we think, well, the machine's not working, I need to give it better fuel or need to pump it up or whatever. But actually, God has created this fabulous picture of himself. Our heart is designed to receive God's love. It's designed to, as it were, caress God's love, or be caressed by it, and to send it forth. And here's another thing. We all have our own rhythm of the heart. In a way, it's unique. We have our own energy signature. And in other ways, according to our emotions that we're cultivating, the heart has a certain rhythm which influences other people. God has designed it all as a picture. Life is all about getting our heart into rhythm with God's. Beating with the heart of God. And the Holy Spirit is the key. That wonderful person who's constantly planning, how can I get more of the love of God into Stephen? How can I get Stephen to respond? How can I get Stephen to love the Lord Jesus more? How can I get Stephen to love God the Father more? He's delighted every time one of us responds. Holy Spirit doesn't say anything about himself. Remember what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit. When he comes, he'll take everything that's mine and give it to you. And he won't talk about himself, but he'll remind you of everything that I've said to you. So the Holy Spirit never draws attention to himself. But what are the two signs of the Holy Spirit at work? Number one, people are discovering that they're children of God and they're loving God their Father. And number two, people are discovering that the Lord Jesus is their Lord and Saviour, and they're loving him in response. They're understanding what he's done for them. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 4:6 says, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our heads. No. God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So it's the Holy Spirit in our hearts who helps us to see that God is our Father, and to feel that God is our Father, and to feel loved and accepted. Romans 8, in our passage, we've received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So we've got this spirit within us, this pattern of life, this vibrancy in us, which the Holy Spirit himself comes and stirs up and responds to and puts his own pattern in, so that our spirit loves God, loves the Father and the Son in the same way that the Holy Spirit loves the Father and the Son. And the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit. Deep within ourselves, our spirit knows, yes, God is my Father. So the Father allows us to share in what he enjoys most. What does the Father enjoy most? The Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit warms our heart to the Father and the Son. So our heart is the organ, the responder that connects us with the heart of God. There's a resonance there. So first of all, the Holy Spirit stirs up the love inside God. Secondly, he connects us with the love of God. He makes us able to realize that God loves us. He makes us love God more and more. He teaches us. And thirdly, the Holy Spirit produces love in our lives. You will recall the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and so on. In Galatians chapter 5. The first one that's mentioned, love. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And in Ephesians chapter 3 it says, I pray that God would grant you to be strengthened with power. So there's God the Father and his power, offering us his power. Through his Spirit in the inner man. So God's power comes through his Holy Spirit into the inside of us. There's the Holy Spirit. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. So isn't that wonderful? There's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all at work. God is giving us his power, offering us his power. The Holy Spirit is the one who's applying that to us. Jesus is the one who takes residence in our heart. So when I asked the Lord Jesus into my heart at the age of 3, I didn't understand what I was doing. I still don't understand what I'm doing. Does anyone think I understand what I'm doing? But I think I understand the purpose of the universe. The purpose of the universe was to display God's love so that more people would love his Son. Isn't that incredible? We're there, as it were, fulfilling a desire of God. I wouldn't say fulfilling a need of God, because God's love for his Son was so complete and total, he didn't need anyone else to love. But he loved his Son so much, he wanted other people to love him as well. That's the purpose of life. And by the way, when our heart is right, that helps us to make good choices. Christian life is not about do this, don't do this, go here, don't go there. Holy Spirit wants our heart to be so passionate for God, for the Lord Jesus, that we sense, well, what would Jesus do in this situation? He would love that, so I love it. He would hate that, so I'm not going to do that. So that's the way he works. It's about love, it's about relationship. It's not about rules and laws. Holy Spirit produces love in our lives. And I've just been meditating recently on the four chambers of the heart. And the four dimensions of God's love is something you might take away and think about, because in that passage in Ephesians, it talks about the prayer that God would, I'll find it, Ephesians chapter 4, we've already had it said this morning, we may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of God. Four dimensions of God's love. Interesting, isn't it? I mean, we know really there's only three dimensions, but Keith actually knows there's 10 or 11 dimensions. And you know, they're actually wrapped up inside us. They're not out there. And God is there already. But these four chambers of the heart, there's a thought. God has made the heart a four-chambered thing. You know, there's two chambers that bring in the blood. One chamber brings in the blood that's polluted. The other chamber brings in the blood that comes from the lungs. And they send them out through two chambers, the ventricles, in the way that I just said, the vortex of love to the rest of the body and back to the lungs to get cleansed again. Well, and there's the four dimensions of the love of Christ. So there's just a bit of thought there that I'm going to meditate on that and see what that means. So here we are. God has given us this heart. The Holy Spirit brings the promises of Christ to our minds and hearts. And the Holy Spirit flows out of our hearts like living waters.
So in a way, placing these in order, you can see the heart of everything, the purpose of everything is God wishing others to receive his love, to understand what he's really like, to love his son. And Jesus, by the way, of course, his greatest delight is loving his father, and he wants us to love his father too. So Jesus taught a lot about God as our father, because he wanted us to experience the delights of having God as our father, just like he did, just like he still does. That God has designed our heart to be intertwined with his, to receive his love, to be connected with him. And the outcome is that we are a tree or a plant that reproduces, that reaches out, that brings blessing. I have this one in my study, and it reminds me of the nature of God reaching out, planting new life. So I've got three questions really to finish with by way of application and challenge. The
first point, or the first challenge, is this. Do you know God as your Father and approaching him through Jesus the Son? Because it's not enough simply to believe that there is a God who made everything, because there must be, because someone must have made everyone, and therefore I respect that being that made everything. That's not enough. We need to come to him through Jesus and understand that he is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ and that he's our Father. And that's the starting point, relationship with God through Jesus. Second application, the chief work of the Holy Spirit in us is to create love in us for the Father and the Son. And my question is, how are we developing in our love for Jesus and our appreciation of God the Father? That's the proof of the work of the Holy Spirit. And the third question is, how are we expressing God's love uniquely? Just like the heart sends out that unique pattern to the rest of the body, how are we stirring up God's love? How are we responding? Remember, one of the things the Holy Spirit does is to give gifts to his people, gifts in the body of Christ. And there's another analogy with the body there, that each one of us is like a part of the body. Each one of us has a function. Each one of us is like an organ. Question is, do you know which organ you are? Do you know what function God has given you in the community of the church? And perhaps that's a good idea to remind yourself several times over the last 25 years. We've looked at the gifts of the Spirit and the gifts that God gives to people. If someone were to ask you a question, what is the gift that God's given you? What is your spiritual gift? What is your contribution to the church? And if you needed to give an answer, would you be able to? Or would you have to think, oh, many years ago, Russ came and he did an exercise on that. Oh, I think I worked out to be something or other. Well, Russ is coming again, I think, on the 23rd of June, isn't he? So that's the outflow of the Holy Spirit in us. He actually gives us a specific task, a specific skill and ability. And what's more, it comes from the heart. Because one of the things that you can use to test whether something is your gift from the Holy Spirit, do you feel with the heart that it's something you love to do? And that's a clue. So I'm going to wind up now and just bring our thoughts to the Lord in prayer. I want to invite you to open up your hearts to the Lord afresh today. And if you would, put your right hand over your heart area like this. You know, the heart is sort of in the middle, slightly to the left, underneath your ribs. And if you can, I want you to put your hand there, because this physically gives you a kind of connection. And just be aware. Your heart is beating unconsciously, and yet it's beating to a rhythm. And the rhythm of your heart actually reflects your thoughts and your emotions and what you focus on most. We're going to focus right now on the love of God coming to us. And each breath, you notice, you've probably noticed that you breathe in and you breathe out. Even if you haven't noticed it, you're still doing it. But notice as you breathe in, you can imagine that the breath that's coming in is the Holy Spirit, is the life of God. So you're breathing in the life of God, the breath, the Holy Spirit. And then as you breathe out, you can just silently breathe a thank you. So breathe in the love of God, the breath of God. And as you breathe out, thank you, Lord. And that is a beautiful rhythm to get into. Very easy, and you slow down your breathing. And if you can, let your breath fill the bottom part of your lungs as well as the top. So you let your belly flop out as you breathe in. Those of us who try and keep our belly flat, you know, we don't like to let it flop out. But the important thing is to use the whole of our lungs rather than just the top. But that's not the most important. The most important now is to sense that God has chosen you. God's given you a heart. The reason he's given you a heart is because he wants to pour his love into it. And he's seeking the love of your heart. He's seeking the gratitude and the response of your heart. So thank you, Father, for each breath that reminds us that we live by you. We live by your Spirit. Thank you for one another who express your love in unique ways. Thank you that we were reminded this morning by Carol that she sees you at work in all of us. Thank you, Lord. I want to encourage each of us. You've been chosen by God. You've been anointed by the Holy Spirit if you've given your life to him. And everything you say and do is important to him. And he intends that you should transmit his life and his love and his grace wherever you go. So, Father, we recommit ourselves today. We rededicate our hearts to you to beat in sync with yours. Thank you for your Holy Spirit who's opened our eyes to see that you are glorious and wonderful. And thank you for the opportunities you give us to be lights in the world, for your living water to flow through us. Thank you for every situation we're in which we cannot understand. Lord, right now I pray for everybody who is struggling or suffering or confused. Father, may each of us know that you are equipping us for the moment. We receive your strength. We trust you by faith. By faith, we believe you're pouring your love into our hearts. And by faith, we believe that you're equipping us for everything you're calling us to do. And so we declare we are complete in you, and we have everything we need to serve you and love you. So thank you, Lord, for these dear people, for my family here who meet regularly. Lord, please teach us something new, something deeper. And may we shine as lights for you more and more brightly amid the darkness around us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.